Hello, everybody. Welcome back to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News. This is episode Kojima, i.e. episode 29. Hi, I'm T-Ray, and with me as co-host this week is...
Joe from Pennsylvania.
Hey, what's up, Joe? It's good to hear your voice again. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, not too bad. Another week in the life, man.
Yeah, life goes on. So, we're going to start today's show by talking a little bit about our favorite or most memorable experience at a Tigers game. So, Joe, tell us a little bit about your best moment as a Tigers fan at the stadium or whatever.
All right. My favorite game that I saw at Koshien would probably be my first game. It was the first series at home in 2009. So it was like April 6th or 8th or somewhere in that ballpark. But my first game at Koshien, it was a day game on the weekend. And we were in the right field stands almost at the top. And one of my friends had, his family was really big Tigers fans. So they brought me to the game. And that game was the first, I want to say the second of the year, but Kanemoto had three home runs in one game. And so it was just the place just unloaded, you know, every time he came up to bat, even if, you know, I think he had one there where they weren't three at bats in a row, but there were three in the game and it was just nuts. Uh-huh. So, and then for me being, you know, a Western baseball fan, there wasn't, you know, it was just a whole new world to see, you know, all the cheering, all the fan support, and I was just hooked. So that's, you know, that was not what, 7-8 years ago, and I'm still hooked. So that tells you how much I liked it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Kanemoto was, what, 41 years old when he did that or something like that. So that's pretty amazing stuff, man.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Well, my favorite moment, you know, I've had a few, and my first game at Koshien, by the way, it was special as well. Unfortunately, it wasn't special for the Tigers because we lost 4-0 against the Nippon Ham Fighters. This was 2 years ago, and I got to see Shohei Ohtani in my very first NPB game ever. And he threw us a one-hit gem through 8 innings, and they pulled him, and we got one more hit, or two more hits, I think. Between them, there was a double play, so we never got anyone past first base all game. Terrible stuff. Anyways, I will talk more about some better memories at Koshien another time, but let's get into today's show. We're going to recap the week that was, choose our players of the week. We're going to talk about the Gaijin rule, and then we're going to look at the fantasy update, and we'll predict the week to come. So stick around. We'll be right back. Okay, Joe, so this week we hosted the Dragons and Swallows. We played 6 straight games at Koshien Stadium. And real quick, let's go back to last week. And what was your prediction for the week ahead?
I think I had 4-2.
Yeah, I think you did. And you said 2-1 in each series, right? Yeah. And I said 3-3. I said... we would go 2-1 against the Dragons and 1-2 against the Swallows. Sorry, I made a mistake. We didn't host the Dragons. We were in their den for that one. Anyways. Let's get right into the action. So looking at the Dragons action, on Tuesday, we brought Shintaro Fujinami to the mound. And man, that guy has been struggling lately, hasn't he, Joe?
Yeah, he just, I don't know, man. He just seems to give up the hits at the wrong time. He gets himself into jams, and I just can't see him getting himself out. It's been kind of rough. You know, you see some of the other pitchers like Messenger get himself into a jam and, you know, 3 out of 4 times he'll get himself out of it. But Fujinami recently has just been, I think, mentally in the wrong space.
Yeah. You know, I'm not really sure what it is. Definitely his control is not awesome. You know, he's even been giving up some pretty solid contact too on his hits. And so in this one, we led off with a one-run lead in the top of the first, but Fujinami let them right back in the game, giving up two runs in the bottom of the inning. We tied it up again in the fourth. They stormed back in the fifth, tied it up, took the lead again, and then they took the lead for good in the seventh with an insurance run. So it was a 4-2 final. Anything else you remember about the game besides Fujinami struggling?
Well, Haraguchi had a... he caught somebody stealing, so that's definitely a plus, because I think our catcher situation, that's always been a little difficult to find somebody that can do that, number one, but number two, hit. So that that was a good I think Toritani had a good throw on a ball in the fifth, or the sorry, the fourth, you know, on a running fly to catch it. So, or I mean, it was a grounder, but he had to run full tilt to pick it up and get it out to first base for the out. So a little bit of decent fielding from Toritani. So, you know, so the defense played, I think, okay. It just maybe the pitching just wasn't there to, you know, give us enough to hold them off.
Yeah, sure, sure. Obviously, the offense didn't fully do their part either. I mean, we did manage eight hits in this one. We also got a decent number of walks. I think we got like five or six. So I think we got, six. Six guys reached base on free passes. Eight guys reached base on hits. So we had 14 base runners. We only got two guys to cross home plate. So that's not very good, for sure.
Yeah, one of them was a wild pitch that got us out in the first, our first run in the first. So
that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the batters definitely did not do well when there were runners in scoring position. So Fukudome started this one, and it was only it was his first of only two starts this week, and he has really looked pretty bad at the plate. You know, just going ahead in the whole week and looking at his pinch hit, I think he had one or pinch hit appearance, and then his start today, Sunday, he really looks like he's not comfortable up at the plate. Did you notice that as well, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, five strikeouts this week, that's pretty tough. You know, two hits on 11 at-bats, just really not, doesn't seem like he's fully healed. I mean, well, I forgot what would put him out, but he just doesn't.
Is it hammy?
Yeah, I mean, so he may just not be all the way back, or he thinks he is, and, you know, obviously he's been out of the lineup, so maybe it is back and just can't get to 100%.
Yeah, you know, part of it may be just being out of the groove that he was in a little bit earlier in the year, where he seemed to be hitting the ball really well, but he hasn't hit for a lot of power. And in fact, the Tigers' bats, I feel, outside of Haraguchi, have kind of lacked punch in the last week or week and a half. So it'll be nice to see them kind of get back into the power game a little bit more. But we'll talk a little bit about power in a little bit here when we get into the third game of the series, because something interesting happened. But let's look at Wednesday's game anyways. So Wednesday, we brought Yuya Yokoyama to the mound, and this was his first start of the year. For those that don't remember, he was the first round pick of the Tigers in 2014, and he struggled last year. He had one good start against the Giants, and then he had a couple of shaky starts and even a shaky relief appearance. So he spent most of the year on the farm. But he did really well in this one. He went seven innings, allowing just three hits, I believe, or maybe two. He did not allow any runs, and the Tigers' bats came out for him, didn't they?
Yeah, 17 hits. Holy cow. Where's that been? I mean, that's probably our, you know, series average for the last couple series. So get that one game, we'll take it. Yeah, it's definitely a gem by Yokoyama. I have down here that they had seven out of their nine innings were 1-2-3 innings. And he gave up. He gave up three hits. They were in the fourth, sixth, and seventh, and two of them were double. Or he got one of them on a double play. So, and so they were only had the two other innings. They didn't have 1-2-3. They had only four at bats. So we faced very few hitters today. And so, and Okita had a good relief with three strikeouts. So giving him some mental support, I think, bringing him into the games where maybe if he gives up a few, it's not going to hurt, but he had a gem there. So that was good to see,
that's right.
You know, building up that, you know, confidence. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tsuyoshi Ishizaki, who was the second round pick in 2014, right after Yokoyama. In fact, they played on the same, Industrial League team, when they got drafted. He came in the ninth inning and pitched a shutout ninth as well. Three up, three down. So a good start for him as well. He was called up, I think, the previous week when a couple of our relievers, Sayuchi, was doing really poorly and got sent down. So that was great as well. In this game, we did not record. Oh, pardon me. We did record a home run.
Yeah, we did. It was a kind of a big one.
Yes, it was. It was Haraguchi's big home run. First career home run, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So that was really big. He hit a big home run in the fourth inning. It was a three-run shot. Is that right?
Three-run home run, and it was about halfway up the first half of the stands out in Koshien. So it wasn't just a little one. It was a big shot. So
not even Koshien, but Nagoya Dome.
Yeah.
A big park. No, I let us off on the wrong foot on that one at the start of the show. So it was in Nagoya Dome, and yeah, it was a monster shot. That's right. That was huge. That was our big fourth inning where we scored five runs, including that three-run shot. We added two more in the fifth and two more in the seventh. And Haraguchi was part of the action in the seventh as well, getting another an RBI single there. So it was a great game to watch. I mean,
yeah.
Just seeing the Tigers pummel another team. And, a lot of our guys came through with multi-hits. Takayama, Yamato, Toritani, Gomez, Itayama, and Haraguchi all with multi-hits in this one. So just a fun game as a Tigers fan for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that Yokoyama has earned a second start.
You're guessing?
At some point next week. Although, actually, no. I'm guessing wrong because I think, didn't he get put on the... He got dropped down simply because next week we only have five games and we've got five other pitchers that we're ready to trot out instead of him. So I think he actually got pulled off the active roster and he'll get back in a couple weeks. But anyways, I'm pretty sure it's guaranteed that he'll be called up.
Yeah, I would think
as
so.
As soon as his turn comes up. Yeah. So that was a good one. 9-0 win. So pitching a shutout there. And then the very next day, we come in with Randy Messenger, and we get back-to-back shutouts. This one ended 1-0 for the Tigers, and Randy went and matched Yokoyama almost perfectly, at least as far as the tail of the tape. Seven innings pitched, no earned runs. Randy allowed just three hits, walked three guys, struck out seven. So a great game for Randy, and it was a great pitching day in a sense, kind of exciting because it was Randy for seven, Dolis for one, and Mateo for one. So it was an all foreigner lineup as far as the pitchers went, and they all were really good.
Yeah, it was just a good solid pitching outing. I mean, I told you earlier when Randy had what, 10 runs support, 12 runs or something like that one game, and this one he gets one. So I told you he was in trouble for the rest of the year. So. but that one run was a home run from Yamato, his first of the season, into the third row of the stand. So,
yes,
it was the first pitch, and everything. He just cranked it. So it was, good to see, cause there was, I think he was one out, no runners.
Yeah.
And so,
two outs.
So yeah, you just, you're like, oh, okay, here we go. Another, and then just cranks it. So that was good to see.
Yeah, because up until that point, we only had four hits, and Yamato had no hits at that point. As many of us know, he came into the game with one career home run. So this was number two in his life. But I remember just something inside of me was saying, wouldn't it be cool if Yamato hit a home run here? And I think I was half joking to myself when I said it. And then when he hit it, I was just beside myself. I mean, my jaw dropped. But interestingly, he is now only one career home run behind one of my favorite players, and that is Imanari. So Imanari, you better get at least one more here so that you can say you've got twice as many as Yamato, because it's looking pretty bad. Anyways, so it was great. We got the two straight shutouts. We've got a two-game winning streak now, which is something that we hadn't had in a long time. And that's the end of the Dragon Series. Like I said, we went two wins and one loss, which was nice after we swept them. After they swept us last time we were in Nagoya. Not only that, Joe, I'm sure you noticed this as well. The last two times we faced the Dragons, the first time was at Kyocera. Viciedo, for them, hit three home runs in three games. And then the last time, in their barn. He hit two home runs in three games and also a big double in the other game. So he completely owned us. And in this series, he went 1-for-10 with a single, and it didn't count for anything. He didn't score on it. He didn't knock anyone in. So it was great to be able to contain him.
Yeah, I think it was definitely good for the team. Watching him and nervous when he was up the bat. And so it was finally good to get him off our backs, you know, at least so next time we won't have to be as, you know, concerned. Oh gosh, here comes Viciado again, you know. So.
Well, I definitely hope we're still cautious because I don't know if you caught this, but I think it was 2 days later against the Giants on Saturday. Viciado hit two home runs in the same inning, becoming the 19th player in NPB history to do so. Wow. So, I mean, he's still packing a mean punch, and we definitely can't take him lightly next time, but good to be able to contain him at least for those 3 days. All right, let's move on to the home series where we face the Yakult Swallows. And on Friday, we brought Boy Wonder, Iwasada, to the mound. And man, I keep thinking to myself, this kid is going to, you know, he's going to throw a stinker at some point because, I mean, honestly, he can't keep this magic up for this long, for very, very long. I mean, honestly, nobody has this good of a string of pitching outings. But he did it. Man, he pitched, was it six shutout innings?
Seven.
He went seven as well. So that's three straight starters that go seven innings of shutout ball. He struck out nine and
only walked Tigers, two. Yeah.
Only walked two, yeah. And the Tigers, again, with another shutout, three in a row. All the offense in this one came in the first inning on an Itayama single through the gap towards right field. He scored two runs on that hit, and that was it. It was a 2-0 final. But anything you want to talk about in this one, Joe?
Iwasada leads the league in ERA right now, even better than Sugano. Uh-huh. And he leads the league in strikeouts. So, you know, coming in this year, I don't think anybody would have called that, you know, no after the way. First month and a half into the season. So... I think we'll take it, and we'll keep trotting him out there. Even if he has a bad one, I think he's earned a spot for a while. So,
absolutely,
you know. And I think the first inning he did, he had the bases loaded, and got out of it. So I think that was kind of his mental like check for the game. Like, you know what, I got out of it. I can do this. You know, and I really think that's a big part of the game is if you have that confidence and you know. Getting really blustery in the first and then having that confidence and closing it out, you know, I think that led him through the rest of the game. So definitely a good one.
Yeah, no doubt. It was actually one out and the bases loaded in the first inning and he got out. So that's pretty impressive. And I remember his pitch count was pretty high after the first inning, but he managed to stick it out for seven and he pitched a career high 100 and how many pitches was it? 119. So I don't know how to take that. I mean, I guess good for him. I hope they don't take him much higher than 120 ever. But, you know, for some reason, the Japanese pitchers seem to be okay up to about 130, you know, depending on the guy, of course. But, you know, I really hope they don't push him to 140 or anything like that. But, you know, I think for him mentally, too, it means he's comfortable going 120 now. And maybe he'll be able to do that more frequently.
Yeah. Also wanted to mention that this was Toritani's 11th straight game with the hit. So, you know, that's obviously turned the ship around. So, you know, that was good for him. But I hate to say it, but that was it. That streak ended at 11 games. But
yes, it did.
So it was good for him to see that, though. I really think that, I guess, putting him in third in the lineup is really, you know, I think helped the team a little bit. So giving him confidence to come up when we need it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say one thing, though. I remember at this point, I think in the week, he was saying, you know, it definitely pays off to be in there every day and play every inning. And I thought, no, don't say that. I mean, say something else, like I practice really hard between games or something like that. But the fact that he said that, you know, this is why it's worth playing every game, I thought, no. But, you know, this is what we're going to have to deal with Toritani. So it is what it is. All right, let's move on to Saturday's game. And we put Kyuji Fujikawa on the mound. He had a pretty good outing last week. So we brought him in, and they brought in Perez, who is one of their new import pitchers. He had been pitching in relief up until this point, so I believe this is his first start of the year. What a game this one was. I mean, just as far as, you know, all sorts of adventure and different stuff going on. But we'll start off with the final score. We lost this one 10-6. So obviously an ugly end to the shutout streak for the team. You know, we pitched three straight shutouts and then boom, you know, double digits the very next day. It was a rough outing. It was definitely a rough outing for Kyuji. Dolis got kind of roughed up as well in the seventh inning. Let's talk a little bit about the flow of this game, Joe. So if you want to take us through a little bit of it, that'd be great.
Yeah. So you know, Colt, came out in the first and just kind of, Kyuji gave up two walks and then a home run, by Ballantyne. So it was just, a confidence killer from the very beginning, giving up, you know, that home run in the first. So, it was just tough to see. Kyuji's got, you know, a lot of love for me for watching him for so long closing, but then seeing him come back this year, you know, I don't know about this still. You know, it's still on the bad side of the spectrum. So, we get nothing in the first, and then the second was also clean, and then comes the third, top of the third, and Ballantyne gets another hit, and then followed up by another home run. So they get two runs in the third, so we're down 5-0 going into the bottom of the third.
And Kyuji still hasn't had his at-bat, and so he's due up in the bottom of the third, and instead of prolonging the pain any longer, because he'd gone 79 pitches in three innings, we pulled him.
Yeah, and they put in Yokawa, and he gets hit in the thigh by a pitch. And then Takayama comes up and gets hit pretty square in the back. And so it's like two in a row. It's like, yeesh. And then I think there was a wild pitch that moved the runners up to second and third.
It was a wild pickoff.
Oh, okay.
He tried to pick off Yokawa at second and threw it into center field.
Okay. And then Yamato comes in with a sac fly to get us a run. Toritani gets a walk. Gomez gets a hit up the center, and then Egoshi
scores.
Yeah, that's an RBI, and then Egoshi with like a fielder's choice kind of one where he gets another run. So you know, three runs work. You know, so then coming back, it's 5-3. You think there's a chance, and then coming up in the fourth, Hataguchi hit, Hojo walk, and then Enokita comes in. He came in relief. And put a perfect bunt up third base. Yamato gets a hit just to left field, and we get a two runs there. So it's back. It's tied. So, you know, the excitement is huge at this point that we came back, you know, after dropping five runs in the first three innings to come back and tie in after the fourth.
Yeah, for sure. And Perez was just completely wild in this game. Their pitcher. Like Joe said, he plunked two guys in a row, and then he threw one into center field, and then he walked the next guy. And man, I mean, he wasn't even close on his walks. I mean, he was way out of the strike zone on a lot of his pitches, and I would have been scared to stand in the batter's box against him. I don't know about you.
Yeah, especially after hitting two guys in a row. I don't know if I would want to be Yamato up at next.
No, for sure. I've never seen a guy plunk the plunk guys to load the bases, but. Two in a row is something else for sure. So yeah, so this one was 5-5, and for a couple innings it remained that way. And honestly, the Tigers didn't get any chances really in the fifth and sixth. And they got two runners, I think, in the top of the fifth, but no real threats in this one in the fifth and sixth. And then the seventh inning came along, Dolis came in for us in relief. And this was his third or fourth game in a row on the mound? I think it was his third in a row and fourth in 5 days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He didn't make the Wednesday game.
But, right. Yeah. So he was in Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then this one Saturday. So Dolis kind of got roughed up pretty bad in this one. He got the first guy out, but then it went walk, hit, hit. And then the next play was a real kind of crippler in a sense for the Tigers, because he actually induced a grounder to their catcher. Their catcher was at the plate, I should say, and he grounded out to second. Although what happened was that Yamato did not field it cleanly. I can't believe those words escaped my lips, because usually you'll never say that about Yamato, but it did happen. He kind of bobbled it, and he threw it home to go for the force out at home plate. Replays showed that his throw was on time and Haraguchi's foot was on the plate and the runner was out, but the umpire called it safe, so there was no out on the play. It could have been two outs and bases still loaded and 5-5 score, but instead it was one out, bases loaded, 6-5 swallows. And it really fell apart from there. Three straight hits after that, including one given up by our friend Takamiya, who came in to face one batter and gave up the hit. And that scored the last two runs that scored there. So it was 10-5 at the end of the seventh inning.
It's kind of a downer that late in the game. So
yeah, big time.
And then, go ahead.
I was going to say, Yamato really expressed remorse after the game and said, if I had fielded that one cleanly, it could have even been a double play because they would have gotten the force out at home. And then, like I said, it was the catcher up to the plate, so they probably could have thrown to first and gotten him out and gotten out of the inning, scot-free. But instead, it was a 5-run crippler. So that was, like you said, it was a real downer.
Yeah, and then the eighth, Haraguchi came up, and guess what? Hit another home run to left field. It was kind of a golf swing, it looked like, to me a little bit. Yeah. He was kind of going after a low pitch and just got it out there and, got it up pretty decently up the third base side. So a one-run solo shot, but that was kind of it for us for the rest of the game. So
literally no hits after that. Because it was a leadoff home run, if I'm not mistaken. So, bottom of the eighth, we're thinking, okay, well, we've got a leadoff home run. Maybe this will build momentum. And then nothing even really close after that. So it's kind of a bummer, right? So 10-6 loss. Winning streak is over. Shutout streak is over. And we're going into the rubber match. We've matched up perfectly with the Swallows up until this point. It was 1-1-1 at Jingu. And then we went 1-1 with a rainout at Koshien last time. And then up until this point, we're 1-1 in this one. So we're 3-3-1 against them in the season series going into today's game. And we bring Nomi to the mound. And they bring their first round draft pick, Juri Hara. And he was drafted by the Swallows because they lost out on the Takayama sweepstakes in a pretty interesting fashion. Anyways. He comes to the mound, and he's been struggling all year, but he actually pulled off a decent outing. And unfortunately, Nomi kind of pulled a Fujikawa at the start of the game, giving up a hit followed by a Yamada home run. It was a 2-run home run, so maybe a little bit better than Kyuji, but anyways, still. That kind of set the tone in a sense. The Tigers' bats were silent for most of the game. We ended up losing this one 5-1. So, any thoughts on this one, Joe?
Yeah, Nomi, only 3 strikeouts. That's kind of, not Nomi. So, gave up 5 walks. So, it's kind of tough. But he only gave up those 2 at the beginning of the first inning. So he only gave up 2 runs. So, 6 innings, 2 runs, it's not horrible. So hopefully our bats should have, I think it's technically a quality start at that point, right? So you can't blame him for, that. It's just our bats didn't show up till the seventh inning. We were already behind 3-0. So, and it was just a walk from Haraguchi. Hojo had a hit, and then Takayama got a hit with an RBI. So, that was our sole run. Wasn't that good. So it just was, just kind of another slow inning, slow game for the bats. So, we had one good game this week with the bats, and the rest are kind of stinkers. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, 2 runs, 1 run, 2 runs, and then 1 run. And then, we had the 6-run game on Friday as well, but, yeah, definitely a lot of silence from the bats this week. So a real bummer. We did get a couple guys on base, and we had a bit of a chance in the ninth inning, which is kind of unusual against Logan Ondrasek of the Swallows, because he's got a perfect zero ERA on the season. But we had runners on second and third with one out, and Uemoto made his season re-debut, I guess we could say. He got called up. We'll talk about that in a second. And he popped out to catcher, and then Takayama struck out to end the game. So it was really unfortunate. I mean, it was a chance to at least put a dent in Ondrasek's record and maybe, you know, show again that the Tigers fight right to the end and getting runs in the ninth inning. But it just wasn't meant to be on this day. So kind of unfortunate. So as I said at the start of the show, Joe, you predicted a 4-2 week and I predicted a 3-3 week. And sad to say, I was exactly right. I said 2-1 against the Dragons and 1-2 against the Swallows. And that is precisely what happened. So
hey, we both had a chance going in the last day, though, so I was feeling good. I was feeling good.
I remember texting Fernando about that, and I said, Fernando's the graphics guy, and I said, hey, if the Tigers win, Joe's right, and if the Swallows win, I'm right. I hope I'm wrong. And nope, I was right, so bummer, too bad. All right, so 3-3 on the week means that the Tigers are still sitting in fourth, but the interesting thing is that the top of the Central is just log-jammed right now. The Tigers are one game above 500. The Central leading, what? Chunichi Dragons? Yes, they are three games above 500. They swept the Giants over the weekend, so the Giants are sitting in third. And it's the Dragons and Carp tie the top. But it's really close. I mean, that could change at any point. All right, let's move into Player of the Week. Joe, it was an interesting week. Like you said, we had a couple of days where there were lots of fireworks, and then you know, the rest of the week was the silence of the bats, and we had some really excellent pitching. But who have you got for your Player of the Week, or who are your candidates?
I really didn't have a list of candidates this week because one stood out way beyond everybody else. And I have Haraguchi as my Player of the Week.
Bing, bing, bing. Me too. Give us the stats rundown if you don't mind.
So he went, he had 9 out of 15, 9 hits on 15 at-bats. He scored 4 runs, 6 RBIs, 1 strikeout, 8 walks, and 2 home runs. So he bat 600 this week. So gosh. I think that will be the Player of the Week for sure.
Oh yes. Oh yes, absolutely. And you know, like we talked about in last week's show, I believe, you know, who is Haraguchi and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you just wonder. I mean, like it's not like the coaches didn't see something in him and all of a sudden, you know, boom, he blossomed or whatever, but it's just amazing how a guy can come in and make this big of an impact, especially after the fact that, you know, he spent 3 years of no production on the farm and 3 years as a development player, heading into his fourth year as a development player, spent, you know, a month and a half of the season in development mode. And then the sudden call up, and he's just been on fire since he's come up to the big team, not only at the dish. And like you said, man, what plate discipline, 8 walks and 1 strikeout. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. Hitting for power, throwing guys out at second, you know, calling 3 games that ended up being shutouts. And of course, you know, a lot of the credit goes to the pitcher, but I mean, catchers need some credit for that as well. Just this guy just seems to have come out of nowhere. And it's just been great news for the Tigers, hasn't it?
We were saying the other day that, you know, we need a catcher, and, you know, we need somebody that can hit. And then all of a sudden, he's right here. You know, he's exactly what we were asking for. So I'm
like
hoping
somebody had to. Sorry. Somebody had like a genie in a bottle and just rubbed it and said, we want a catcher that can hit. And poof, Haraguchi's here. Like, it's just amazing how suddenly he came along and how much he's fulfilled that desire.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So good stuff. You know, it's amazing, though, that Okazaki has kind of fallen off the map in a sense. He didn't get any starts this week. Sakamoto, who was the second round pick in 2015 behind Takayama, he got called up to the Ichigun team after Umeno got called down, but he has not seen any action, not even a pinch hit, not even a late innings, anything. So Haraguchi has really just taken this team by storm, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's just been, quite the gift that we've been asking for. So, it's a good week. So he's got a lot more weeks to go for the season. So let's, maybe hold him to half of what he did this week, and then we'll be in a great spot. So.
No doubt. I mean, yeah, like if he hits 300 in any given week from now on, I think we should be happy with that and definitely not expect, more and more 600 weeks like this. But yeah, great stuff, Haraguchi. You're earning a lot of respect and a lot of love from the Hanshin Tigers fans. Okay, just a couple of series notes. The first one being that I don't know if you saw Saturday's game, but Taiga Egoshi looked completely lost at the dish, and he has for the last couple of weeks, Joe. He went, I believe it was 0 for 3 with two strikeouts and a walk. And his strikeout, one of his two strikeouts was, he was caught looking at a really beautiful pitch, like a fat pitch. He just looks like he doesn't know what he's doing up at the plate. So he got farmed. He also made a pretty lazy play in the field on Ballantyne's single to center that got stretched into a double, because he just kind of sauntered over, picked it up, and threw it into the infield. But it seems to me that Egoshi just does not have that awareness in the field, particularly the once you pick up the ball, you're still on the hook. You still have to do something. Some of his throws to the infield have been off. Last week when Iwata was pitching and he threw it back into the infield, he missed the cutoff guy and it went past Shimizu and Iwata and it scored an extra run. I don't know if you remember that, but Egoshi's looked really bad in the field and at the plate, so he got sent down. I look forward to him coming back up better than ever, but he definitely deserved that demotion, I would say. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just been amazing to me how we have these ups and downs this year with all the different players. And so, it's going to be an interesting time to see how that gets managed. Because like let's say God forbid, but Hataguchi has a couple bad weeks again. Then what do? So it's just like it seems like we have just like this standout player every week, but then the rest of the team just kind of falls off. So it's been very up and down and not a lot of consistency. So it's definitely tough to
Definitely.
manage.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, Kanemoto's got his work cut out for him. Certainly, though, with a young team, I mean, these kind of things are bound to happen where guys are going to go through ups and downs a lot more than they would as veteran players. So again, it's on Kanemoto to really try and just ride the hot hands and try to manage the rest of the team around the cold streaks and just continue this shuffle of players up and down. I mean, the interesting thing is that we've got like a good number of players that are capable of doing something at the Ichigun level. We called up Uemoto to replace Egoshi. And I mean, Uemoto is a pretty accomplished player, at least in the past couple of years. And so for him to have been on the farm that long, it's quite something. And also, let's jump right into the very next topic as we're speaking of farm players that could definitely be up on the big club. Matt Haig has been down on the farm for, I believe it's 3 weeks now. Replacing him has been Rafael Dolis. And up until Saturday's hiccup, he was definitely doing a good job in relief, and we definitely needed him on the mound because some of our other relievers were not pulling their weight. Takamiya. It's definitely good to have Dolis there, but unfortunately it means that Haig has to stay on the farm because of the four gaijin rule. So Joe, I threw you the question kind of in our pre-recording notes, and I'll ask you again. What do you think we should do with our gaijin players? Just to bring everybody up to par, I think everybody knows this anyways, or up to speed, I should say. We've got Randy Messenger, starting pitcher. We've got Mauro Gomez, our starting first baseman. And we've got Marcos Mateo, our closer, who are pretty much fixtures there. And then Haig started up on the parent squad. Now he's down on the farm. And Dolis was the opposite, started on the farm, and now he's up on Ichigun. So what to do, Joe?
Yeah, when I got the question earlier, I was just I was I had no idea what to do, but then after Saturday's game, it made it a lot easier maybe to find a way out of this because Dolis had a real stinker and gave up, I think 4 of those runs or 5 runs, I think, in that
Wow,
inning.
yeah.
So, yeah, it was quite the stinker. So maybe that deserves a demotion. I think Haig, though, has earned his spot back on the farm. I think he was batting 200 through the first couple games, and now he's batting 406 for the whole time on the farm. So he's really, really come back, and I think is on, yeah, on base is like 472, slugging 594. So, you know, just he's not really cranking them too hard, but he's definitely getting on base. So, you know, I guess if we wanted to make a switch up, and it might be to bring Haig back and revive the bats, because I think the bats are hurting us at this point. The low run count is probably hurting us a little more than maybe the pitching, because we seem to lose a lot at the start of games, more so than in relief. And Okita's had you know, a couple good games under his belt, so maybe that gets him into that Dolis position again. Sure. You know, so you know, I think we could shuffle the bullpen a little bit and give Haig another shot.
Yeah, I think Kanemoto kind of lacks the experience with the pitching staff and what to do and how to shuffle things appropriately or whatever. And you know, not to talk down on him or nothing, because I don't know either, but I would say that, you know, there is room to move things around a little bit in the bullpen. We've also got Takahashi, who could move into the setup role. Ando has been really good. He could be in the setup role. Fukuhara might be able to make a comeback and be that setup guy for Mateo. And it's not to say, Dolis, we're sending you down to the farm because of the, you know, the 5-run meltdown on Saturday. Although that definitely contributes, but rather, you know, pretty much for the same reason that we knocked Haig down in the first place, is saying, hey, we need help, you know, in the bullpen. And we just want to try this out with Dolis. Like, we need to say, okay, well, we tried it. It worked. But we want to try something else, and we definitely need your bat, Matt. So why don't you come back on up? So I would say, yeah, maybe that is the best thing for us to do. The other option, which definitely is, playing a waiting game, is to wait until the middle of June when Interleague ends and there's a bit of a gap in the schedule, right? Where we might be able to say, okay, you know, we'll take Messenger starter off of the active roster. Let's just say, for example, he continues to start on Thursdays. So he goes up on June the 16th against the Buffaloes. And then the next time that we play on a Thursday is 2 weeks later, or even if we said, okay, well, we can shuffle him in on a different day of the week. You know, we, after that Buffaloes game, we play 3 against the Hawks, and then we've got 4 days off. So that's 7 days right there, where we wouldn't use them anyways. And then it's just 3 extra days of rest or whatever. So we could wait until then, to make a move. But again, that wouldn't be a permanent move, because then when we bring Randy back up, we would have to send somebody down, and then the same question has to be asked: is it Haig? Is it Dolis? Or what? So definitely a tough conundrum to be in here, for sure. Yeah, and that's not to mention, I mean, you know, we don't ever talk about Nelson Perez, and I think there's a reason to talk about him, because I mean, yeah, I think his time on the farm has been a bit limited, especially of late, maybe in the last couple of weeks, but the guy started the season batting 27 for 82, which is a 329 average with 3 home runs and 10 RBIs. And his slugging percentage was 500. So, definitely, doing some great stuff down on the farm. But right now, just unfortunately, there's no room for him up on the big squad. So
was he signed to an Ixei contract, or is he on a regular contract?
No, I guess he's a regular contract.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He was signed out of Ishikawa. He was playing an independent league there. And I think he was signed as a way to kind of scare Merton into playing a little bit better or something like that. Because he was signed like right around the start of June or middle of June last year, right around when Merton's slump was at its worst. And Merton snapped out of it. I think the timing is kind of coincidental, but
yeah. Anyways, well, it's always motivation.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if it was motivation, great. You know, there's no reason to deny it if it was. So Perez has been down there for almost a full year, and he has been showing his worth down on the farm. He only got 9 at bats up on the parent squad at the end of last year, and he went 0 for 9, made good contact a couple of times, but, you know, a lot of people were down on him already. And I was thinking to myself, man, this is a guy that just over a year prior was playing independent league ball in Japan. So, I mean, you know, to place the same expectations on him as other foreigners that are called in as former major leaguers, or, you know, even guys that were playing in AAA or whatever. It's kind of unfair. But he's done well. So, you know, his time could come, but I think it would really take a little bit of luck or even bad luck on the part of the Tigers, you know, if injury comes up or whatever. But so let's agree that it's time to bring Haig back, time to give him some Ichigun action. And, you know, we have Yokawa at third base, who looked good for a couple games, but he's been struggling of late and hasn't gotten many starts. We've got Ryota Arai, who has not gotten any starts, I believe, but has been seen in a pinch hitting role. And as I mentioned last week, I don't necessarily feel like there is a proper place for him in the lineup. I think that he and Kano kind of fill the same role. So I don't mind if he goes down or if Yokawa goes down. And then also at third, we've got Imanari, who has come in a lot late as a defensive replacement. And we've also got Hojo, who can play third base. So there's a lot of guys there. But, you know, I would even say send one of them down with Dolis, bring up Haig, and bring up one of the Japanese relievers, maybe Fukuhara or somebody else, and see how that goes. What do you say? Any thoughts on that? You know, you're saying bring Haig up and send Dolis down, but do you want to swap them that way? Or I really think that you kind of have to swap hitter and pitcher with hitter and pitcher.
Yeah. It's tough. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it definitely is tough, especially because we don't have our finger on the pulse of the farm team, especially as much as the coaches and managers there do. But all we can look at is numbers, more or less, and
yeah,
the occasional farm highlight. But
did Nishioka play at all this week? I didn't see that.
As far as I know, he didn't. I don't think he's got a single at-bat down on the farm. So kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I thought they were saying he might have played this week, so that would have been nice to see. But
there was talk of it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll wait.
Yes, but he's another one that it would be great to see come back up to the team. You know, you talked about this, I think, last week, that back on April the 29th, they had a young lineup, average age of 26. And one of the reasons for that is because Fukudome was out of the lineup. Nishioka was on the injured list or whatever, and then Haig was out on the farm, and so we had a lot of young guys in there. But, you know, once Nishioka comes back and Fukudome is back to health, and if Haig comes back, I mean, it kind of brings up our average age, it brings up our experience, and hopefully, you know, maybe that with that experience comes a little bit more stability with the bats. So it'd be great to see that. All right, let's move into another section. We are going to once again do a fantasy update.
Hello everyone, Jimbo here. Not a lot to say this week, but I think the most interesting thing is the fear you can just hear from T-Ray and Zorni. They know that their time is limited. They know that what goes up must come down. They know that Messenger is going to hit his stride, and he is going to knock them out. They're afraid of my pitchers. Just look at their weeks. Yes, Zorni has Iwasada. Can't take that away from him. But that's all he's got. You just wait. My guys are coming back. Watch.
Hey there, H10 fantasy fans. This is T-Ray, and this is the fantasy week, according to me. Well, the Tigers went 3-3 and had a mediocre week, and likewise, I kind of had a mediocre week as well. I really miss Kosuke Fukudome in my lineup, and he didn't look good in the two games that he played this week. I had a couple of half-decent pitching outings. I had Yokoyama come up and throw me a gem on Wednesday. Thank you. And I also had not too bad from Nomi on Sunday, but Fujinami continues to baffle me, man. I don't get what he's doing. Fortunately, I had some decent stuff on the farm as well. I had a couple of good starts there. I think really that's the big thing, man. My pitching has been coming through a little bit more than before. And even though the bats have cooled off, I think I had a decent enough lead in most categories. And I scored a bunch of stolen bases as well from guys like Araki and Uemoto down on the farm. So thanks a lot, guys. And one more thing, Kanemoto, stop bringing my fantasy studs up from the farm team and then just sitting them on the bench, because they're raking on the farm. They're giving me a huge lead, and then you ruin it. Stop it. All right, guys. Catch you next time.
Hey everyone, Zarni here with your fantasy update. For my team this week, we have the demotion of Egoshi to the farm, which is very sad because we're all asking ourselves, what happened to you, Egoshi? Takayama starts to hit some balls again. Hoger started to step up, which I'm really glad since Nishioka, Umeno, and Egoshi are not in my Ichigun roster anymore, so I'm getting some points there. Let's not forget about my boy Yamato. Yamato, you live in my heart. Who's going deep? Yeah, you hear me. Second career home run couldn't be sweeter. My pitching staff is like being heaven and hell at the same time, and I'm talking about Iwasada and Fujikawa. We all know about Iwasada, but Fujikawa, man, here's an advice. If you're not having a quality to start next game, you're going down, buddy. Going down good. And that's pretty much it. That's it for my week. On my fantasy update. So see you next time. Don't you want it? Don't you need it? Your fantasy. Tigers fantasy. It's here now. You just listen to your fantasy. Your Tigers fantasy.
All right. Thanks, guys, for your comments. And, moving right on ahead, we are going to predict the week to come. So, Joe, we have got two games at home against the Yomiuri Giants, and then we've got three games on the road against the DeNA BayStars. Any thoughts on how these games may turn out?
I am going to go with 1-1 against the Giants, and then we're going to take all three against the BayStars.
Woohoo! So a 4-1 week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
All right.
So
I like that. I like that.
What about you?
Well, see, last time I predicted a sweep for the Tigers against the Giants at home, and it was almost the opposite. We almost got swept. We went 0-2-1. I'm going to call sweep again, though, my friend. I'm going to say, look, the Giants are struggling lately. They lost three straight to the Dragons, and we're going to be bringing Fujinami and Messenger to the mound for these two, I believe, and I really hope that both of them pitch their best games of the year. So I'm going to go 2-0 against the Giants, and then I'm going to go 2-1 against the Bay Stars again, which is what I did last time, and I was right. If they bring Imanaga again, I don't know who he'll face from our team, but Imanaga has just been on fire. I expect that they may win one of those games. Their bats have kind of come alive a little bit more as well, with Kajitani coming back, and I don't know if Tsutsugo is ready to come back just yet, but if he comes back, their batting lineup is back to where it was last year, which is a pretty dangerous place. So I'll go 2-1 in that one. So 4-1 for me as well. So prove us right, Tigers. I would love to see a 4-1 week. Let's go. Let's go, Tigers. All right, closing things off, we are going to once again remind everybody out there that we have a new section on the website called Humans of Koshien, and I would like to have a collection of pictures up on the website of you, the fans, you, the people at Koshien or Kyocera or another stadium. They're all fine and good. You guys at the games enjoying the games. You know, I'm not trying to push this whole selfie movement to a higher level, but you know, if you've got selfies, great, send them my way. I'd love to see them. If you've got pictures of yourself with famous players, that's great too, or ex-players. We've got a picture up of somebody with Yano. We've got a picture up of somebody with Bass, and there may be others to come. So we'd love for you to send those our way. The email address is info@thehunchingtigers.com. If you're in that club that doesn't do email anymore, you can send them to us just on one of the Facebook pages as well. Speaking of which, look us up on Facebook if you're not connected with us yet. Hanshin Tigers English News, you'll find us. There's a group and there's a page, and you can join one and like the other. It'd be great. Also, on Twitter, you can find me at the Hanshin Tiger. Feel free to add me, and you'll get the latest, greatest news on the Tigers. I like to tweet whenever I see something come up or find an interesting article. So you'll get some news real fast that way. Feel free to follow me. I'd love to have you in part of the group there as well. Other than that, I hope everybody has a great week. Joe, any big plans for the week to come?
Not too much for me. We do have wedding plans coming up for me personally, so I got a lot of wedding planning to get done. So, yep.
Excellent. Well, I hope that goes really well for you. We'll keep us up to date. And I guess that means you may be missing a couple of podcasts in the near future. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us again this week, Joe. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. Take care. See ya.